Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our series, When Anxiety Attacks. I hate to say it, but I think too many people are missing out on the only adventure that really counts in life, walking with God and carrying out His purpose here on earth. Why? Because we all love our comfort zone. I hope this message challenges yet encourages you at the same time. Enjoy.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. We are one church in six locations, and I want to give a shout out to each and every one of our campuses, to those of you in Dover, to those of you in Canton and Worcester, Millersburg, Coshocton, and Cambridge. And by the way, today we launch our seventh campus. It's an online campus, and we welcome each and every one of you who are watching online. We are glad that each and every one of you are here. Our mission is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And you picked a great, great time to visit one of our campuses, because today we're kicking off a brand new series, and it's called When Anxiety Attacks. When Anxiety Attacks. And so we're glad that you're here. Now, I want you to realize that there's three kinds of people in the world, especially when we're dealing with anxiety, okay? The first kind is this right here, those who have fear and anxiety and admit it, all right? Those who have fear and anxiety, and we just courageously admit it. Hey, you know what? I battle this. I want you to know that I'm in that group, all right? The second group is this right here, those who have fear and anxiety and don't admit it. You know, they just don't admit it. And we're never willing to say, hey, you know what? I struggle with a little bit of fear in my life. I struggle with a little bit of anxiety in my life. And then there's the third kind, and that is those who truly don't have fear and anxiety, but they cause it in other people, okay? They cause it in, don't look to the right or to the left, okay? No elbows throwing, all right? We don't want you to point out anybody who might be causing anxiety and fear in your life, but we know that they're there. We know that they're there. But here's what I want us to understand, because what I want to do today is I just want to lay a foundation. Lay a foundation. We're going to be talking about this all throughout the month of November, and you don't want to miss a weekend, I promise you. And so I want to lay a foundation for each and every one of us, because I know that this is so, so huge in each and every one of our life. I understand that we all deal with it to different degrees, but it's there in your life and it's there in my life. You know why? Because here's what I believe. Anxiety is not a choice. It's not a choice. It's a fact of life. You say, Dwight, do you battle anxiety? I do. Right now I am. Matter of fact, every time I speak, I have certain levels of anxiety. And I push through it. If I would allow that anxiety or fear to control me, I would never speak. But it's always there. And I battle it in other areas of my life as well. And so I just want to get it out there. I want to admit that I struggle at times with my fears and my anxiety. And if you have the courage to be able to admit it, you know what? You know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to have those fearful thoughts popping in your head in the middle of the night. You know what it's like having great difficulty in making decisions. You don't know what to do. It kind of paralyzes you. Or second-guessing yourself, wondering if you did make the right decision. And then there's that severe issue of maybe anxiety disorder or panic attacks that really can make life very, very, very miserable in each and every one of our lives. And so I want you to understand today that anxiety is not a choice. It's not a choice. It's something that all of us deal with. And it shouldn't be a stigma in your life or in my life. Now, you say, Dwight, got any evidence for that? Well, let me just tell you what Jesus said, okay? And that might help you. I like quoting him, by the way. I always like quoting a man who has conquered death and come back to life, okay? I think he's worthy of following and listening, okay? And here's what he says. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And so as we go throughout this series, I want you to know that your peace and your confidence is not going to come from your circumstances. It's going to come from a relationship with Jesus. He says, in me you're going to find peace and you're going to find confidence. He goes on to say, he says, in the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress. Sounds like fear, sounds like anxiety to me. He's basically being straight up with you and me. And one of the things that you and I have to come to grips with if we're going to be able to handle anxiety and fear is to admit that we have it. The first issue is to acknowledge it, because if you don't acknowledge it, you'll never address it. And what Jesus is doing, he's acknowledging the fact that we live in an imperfect world. We're going to live in a world that has tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. Those are all issues of anxiety and fear. But be of good courage. Take courage and be confident, certain and undaunted. He says, for I have overcome the world, this world that you and I live in, of where there's anxiety, there's stress, there's fear, all of those different things. He says, I have overcome that. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Wow. And have conquered it for you. That's good news. The bad news is anxiety is not a choice. We all deal with it. I deal with it, you deal with it, we all deal with it on certain different levels and different degrees. The good news is there's somebody who has offered to help you and I with it, and his name is Jesus. And he loves you and he loves me. And he cares deeply about you. And he understands you. He understands me. And so with that in mind, what I want to do is I want to share with you some myths of anxiety, because there's a lot of myths out there about anxiety. And that's why we kind of are ashamed to admit that maybe we struggle with some anxiety or we struggle with some fear. But let me just give you some of these, okay? The first one would be this right here. Anxiety is just a lack of trust in God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be the first to agree that I want to trust God more. And trusting God is huge. It's huge. But I don't trust him perfectly. And so the fact of the matter is that anxiety is not just a lack of trust in God. You know, it's just not, so to speak, laying all of your worries and all of your cares at the feet of Jesus. That doesn't necessarily make all of the anxiety of life go away. And so we need to understand that. Here's the second myth, I believe. That is, anxiety is all in your head. It's just in your head. You know what? God created you and I, mind, body, and soul, or spirit. And so we are three-dimensional. And so what happens is, it might start in my head, but it's not just in my head. It involves my whole body. And at many times, what happens is, I not only need to address the thoughts in my head, but I might need to address something in my body. And then here's the third myth, and it's this. Anxiety is just spiritual. If you were just more spiritual, then you wouldn't have this problem. And again, what I would say, and what I've come to believe, is that anxiety involves the whole being. Now, I do agree that we're more spiritual than we are physical. And so I need to make sure, and we're going to do this, I need to make sure that I'm addressing the spiritual, because that is so, 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 so important. But it's more than just a spiritual issue. And then here's another myth, and that is anxiety is a sin. Anxiety is a sin. And so if you battle anxiety, if you have fear that you battle, which I would say we all do, okay, it's not a sin because it's not a choice. It's not a choice. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken world, and it's happened since the fall. You can read in the book of Genesis when God is talking to Adam and Eve, and they ate of that tree. And if you grew up in church, maybe you know the story. And after they ate of that tree, what they did is they went and hid. And God comes down and he's basically saying, "Where are you? Where are you? Why have you hid?" And what did Adam say? Adam said, "Because I was afraid. Because I was afraid." And so fear has been ringing out in people's lives ever since. And it's because of the fall, but your personal anxiety, my personal anxiety, is not necessarily a sin. Let me give you another thought, and that is this. Anxiety is the fact that Christians shouldn't use anxiety medications. Okay, maybe you've heard that out there. You know, if you're really a strong enough Christian, you'll never have to get help. You'll never have to take a medication. And though I think we need to be very, very careful in this area, there's a lot of different opinions there. I don't think that it's wrong. I think that there's times in our lives that, you know what, we need help because it's not just my mind. It's my whole being that I have to be able to address in life. And so those are some myths that I hope will help you and maybe create a sense of courage in you to say, okay, if that's true, then I'm going to be more open. I'm going to be more free in talking about it because these myths have stopped me from really being open and honest, maybe with my spouse, maybe with my mom, maybe with my dad, maybe with my teacher, maybe with a friend. And so we want you to be able to be free and realize that anxiety is not a choice. It's a part of living in a broken world. And so what is anxiety? What is anxiety? And this is so, so important. When you hear the word anxiety, what comes to your mind? You know, most of us would probably say, well, I'll tell you this, Dwight, it's something that I want to avoid. It's just a negative thing. It is a bad thing. And yet the fact of the matter is anxiety is a part of our everyday life. And it doesn't need to be a negative thing. It doesn't need to be a negative thing. And we're going to learn that today. You see, it's just part of life. And when you understand that it's part of life, then what happens is you will begin, I believe, to address it in a different way in which maybe you're addressing it right now. And so what is anxiety? What is it? Well, let me give you what I'm thinking. At the heart of most forms of anxiety is our desire for control over how others see us, our future, other people, and even God. Wow. So for most of us, really, if we want to get to the root of most of it, it's a control issue, which comes back to a trust issue. Someone said that mental health 101 is to give up control. That if you really want to get your mind back, then humble yourself and realize, you know what, I do live in a big world. And I do live in a world that's broken. And I don't understand everything. And I need someone bigger and stronger than me. And that's why Jesus said, in me, you will find peace and confidence. And so what is anxiety? It's usually Dwight wanting to be in control and finding out that I can't control everything. And so what happens is, when that goes on in my life, I have a sense of being overwhelmed and under-resourced. That's anxiety. when you feel overwhelmed and you feel under-resourced. Well, you know what, Dwight, let me tell you something, okay? When you have a desire to have control over others seeing you and your future and other people and God, you know what, you're going to be overwhelmed because you don't have the resources to do all of that. And so anxiety can come, and even panic attacks can come into our life. And I like what the Mayo Clinic says about a panic attack. A panic attack is a sudden explosion of intense fear that triggers severe physical reactions when there is no real danger or apparent cause. Wow. There's no real danger or apparent cause, but I'm trying to control something that really I can't control. And so I shouldn't try to control it. Now, when that happens in me and when that happens in you, there's an anxiety symptom checklist that I think that we need to go through. And again, I want you to know that I'm trying to lay a foundation so that what happens is in the next several weeks, we can begin to address some of this. But there's the symptom checklist that I want all of us to kind of go through. I'm not trying to diagnose you, okay? I'm not a doctor, okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to begin to think about it. Because one of the things that we like to say at New Point is it's a safe place to hear a dangerous message. Or maybe today, an uncomfortable message, okay? So we're here to help. I'm here to help. I need help, and so I just want you to know that, okay? So let's look at some symptoms. The first one is the physical symptoms. And this is when you begin to experience anxiety, and this is, do you feel physically weak, okay, all over? Rapid pounding heartbeat, tightness around your chest, hyperventilating, okay? Periodic dizziness and sweating, muscle tension, aches or tremors, or chronic fatigue. What they would say is those are all signs of anxiety. And if you would have three or more of those, that's a big, big concern. We're going to talk about that. And then there's the cognitive symptom, okay? And this is, do you feel, okay, in your mind, I can't carry on. I've got to get out of here. What if I make a fool of myself? Okay? That's trying to control how people see you. People are looking at me all the time. I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to faint. I'm going crazy. I've thought that many of times. I can't go on alone. No one will help me. I can't go out. I will lose control. Or I feel confused and can't remember things. Again, you know, if you're saying, man, Dwight, that more than one or two of those describes me, you know, I would encourage you, and there's nothing wrong with getting help, okay? Nothing wrong with getting help. That's why we're all here, by the way, to get help. And then there's the emotional, and this is, do I feel? Do I feel? And do I feel that I'm full of what? Fears that I can't get out of my mind. That I just can't get out of my mind. I battle this. You know, you're going to look stupid, Dwight. You're going to get up there and you're going to mispronounce a word. People don't understand what you're saying. I battle this all the time. It's just part of me. I know it. And so I've learned skills. And I've grown in my faith to help me to be able to do that. I feel like something terrible is going to happen. I worry excessively. I feel uneasy and alone a lot of the time. I often feel isolated, lonely, down in the dumps, and depressed. By the way, let me just say that one of the ways in which I battle my fears and anxiety is community. I've told you this over and over again. I don't have any secrets. And I have found that it has helped me tremendously to be able to develop some friends and to be able to look at them straight in the eyes and be able to say, you know what, I'm in a period of where I'm very fearful about this. And God has made you and I to have relationships, to live in community. And then another one would be this right here. Let's go to the next slide, please. I feel I have no control over what happens to me. I feel embarrassed, rejected, and criticized. I often feel like screaming with anger, All of these are symptoms that something's going on in my life. It's a flag. It's that dashboard of where the light's going like this. It's trying to get my attention. It's trying to get your attention. And the reason why this is so important is because anxiety affects my relationships with everybody. It can affect my relationship with Patty, my kids, the people I lead, the people I work with, my closest friends. And it can be very, very harmful if I don't approach it in the right way. You see, anxiety can cause me to take everything personally. And so what happens is I'm easily wounded, I'm easily hurt, because my mind's going, oh, what did they mean by that? I know what they meant by that. They're trying to get at me. Or overanalyzing every situation. We're trying to read people's minds. We're trying to see everything there. Oh, we don't want to miss anything. And so what happens is we get an overload of information and things that's going through our mind. Or we feel that the world is against me. And when you overanalyze every situation, you'll feel like everybody's against you because you'll be trying to read everything. You begin to doubt your self-worth. You know, I'm just worthless. I don't even know why I'm alive. Why was I even born? And see, anxiety can cause these things in me and in you, and I struggle to see my value. I struggle to see my value. And this is why it's so important that we talk about this. And that we begin to understand it a little bit more on how you and I can be more intentional. And what is this all about? And what is my game plan? Because if anxiety is not a choice, and I know it's going to enter my life, what's my game plan? What do I have to counteract the fear and the anxiety when it comes rushing into my world or rushing into my life? Because I know it's going to come on some level or another. And if I don't deal with it, then what happens is it continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so anxiety is where you and I, at the basic level, it's where you and I feel overwhelmed and under-resourced. See, that's why David said it like this. David said, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. See, listen, okay? Let me explain it to you this way, okay? If you're a mom or a dad, or if you are a leader, let me ask you a question. Do you share all of the things that's going on in your world with your kids? You'd say no. It'd freak them out. It'd cause them to panic. It caused them to experience anxiety. They'd feel overwhelmed and under-resourced because I'm having an adult conversation with a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old. You'd say, Dwight, that's not right. That's not good. That's not healthy. And yet what happens is we do that as an adult. You know, no doubt most of us here today, we have an iPhone. And we have internet, we have computers. And what happens is every single day, you and I are bombarded with information, bits of fear that comes into your mind and comes into my mind. And I might not consciously accept them, but they're there. And because they're there, what happens is I begin, whether I realize it or not, I begin to have a sense of hopelessness. And what happens is, let me explain it to you this way. Let's say Dwight is a 12-ounce person. But because of all that is available to me, Facebook, the internet, 24-hour news, all of this, what happens is I'm getting more than 12 ounces. I'm getting 24 ounces. You know, I shouldn't know about the relationship between Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi. 50 years ago, we'd never know that, right? Today, we know all of that and more. And we're not able to devise or discern what is truth and what is error or what is lies. And so what happens is that comes upon you, that comes upon me, and it just floods our mind and we feel overwhelmed. What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to our world? I feel under-resourced. I don't know if I can handle it. What's going to happen to our family? And what happens is if you talk about that in your house, you're passing that on to your kids. And so your kids are automatically going to grow up being anxious and frightened. Because why? Because dad is anxious and frightened. Because mom is anxious and frightened. And so David is saying, I don't occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. Basically what he is saying, you know what he's saying? Listen to me. Here's what he's saying. I'm not God. I am small and he is big. And what happens is when we make ourselves big, hear me, listen. When we make ourselves big and our God small, anxiety will wreak havoc with you and me. And there are some things I just need to not occupy myself with. You know what? I'm not going to go there. That's above my pay grade. I'm going to trust God with that one. I'm going to trust Jesus who said that he has conquered the world. Y'all okay? And so what I want us to understand is anxiety is not a choice. It's going to be a part of your life. It's going to be a part of my life. And so how does God use this? How does God bring good out of that which can be awful and miserable and painful in your life as well as my life? Let me give you some things to think about today. First of all, God uses anxiety to get our attention. God uses anxiety to get our attention. I don't know about you, but when pain enters into my life, it gets my attention. And Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he said this, I am glad not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God. You know, the fact of the matter is, some of you today are here today because God's got your attention. And you've experienced enormous amount of emotional pain, maybe physical pain. And you're thinking, I can't go on like this. Some of you online, you've tuned in because you know what? You heard about this series. And you're thinking, you know what? Anxiety is running my life. It's killing me. I'm afraid. I can't do what I want to do. And so what happens is God's now got your attention. And that's okay. C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's magnaphone. It gets our attention. Sometimes we're hard hearing, are we not? And so God uses anxiety to remind me, to remind you, hey, you know what? You're small, but I am great. We had a family friend. His name was Larry Rossler, and he was a paraplegic. And I remember him telling my dad this because he spent the majority of his time in bed. He said, Jim, never curse pain. He said, there's been multiple times in my life that I've almost died because I would have bed sores and they would get infected. And I didn't realize it because I had no pain. I had no feeling. And he told my dad, he says, Jim, don't curse your pain. Allow your pain to get your attention and then look to God. You see, it's like a car that you and I drive. You know, if you're driving down the road and a light comes on the dashboard, you have a choice to either ignore it or to address it. Now, here's the thing, okay? If you don't address it, your car won't stop running. But if you continually refuse to address it, It'll probably blow an engine and leave you sitting alongside the road. And so today, if you're experiencing some level of pain, God wants your attention, and he wants you to turn to him. Here's the second thing, and it's this. God uses anxiety to help us reevaluate our priorities. Reevaluate our priorities. I have to confess to you that I don't always maintain the right priorities in life. There's things that I say that I value, and there's things that I say that are important. And yet as I go through life, sometimes I just drift away from them. Not intentionally, it just happens. And so God will use a moment in my life to cause me to hit the pause button and be able to reevaluate my priorities. And do I have them in the right place? I love what Proverbs has to say. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. You see, here's what I know. Some of you have been coming to New Point for years, and you haven't changed your ways. You know why? Because you don't change your ways when you see the light. You change your ways when you feel the heat. The best message in the world is pain. Is pain. And God uses it to cause us to reevaluate our priorities. Am I focusing on the most important things in life and what is important to God? Here's the third thing, and that is God uses anxiety to draw us to himself. To draw us to himself. You see, there's something in Dwight that wants to live an independent life. I want to do it on my own. I want to call the shots. I want to be in control. And what happens is when I do that, I move away from God. And so God will allow me at times to experience a sense of overwhelmness or anxiety in my life to be able to say, hey, time out. You know what? You can't do this without me. And he uses it to draw me to him. And we see this all throughout Scripture. The Israelites had the same problem that I have. They were prone to wonder from the God who loved them. And here's what is written about them. It says, but in their distress, talking about Israel, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In their what? Their distress, in their anxiety, in their fear. Because why are you fearful? Why are you full of anxiety? Because you're overwhelmed. You're dealing with something bigger than yourself, and you don't have the resources to handle that. So I need somebody bigger than me. And that's God. Jonah, in his most stressful time, here's what it's written about Jonah. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. That's the good news. That's the hope that you and I have. David wrote it like this. He said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Wow. So God will use anxiety to draw us to him. And that's why some of us are here today. He's drawing you to himself. That's too big for you. That's overwhelming you. That's paralyzing you. Come, I love you. I care about you. I want to help you. And then God uses anxiety to discipline us. To discipline us. Not in a punishment way, but to be able to help us to be able to get back in line. A way in which he coaches us. And the Hebrew writer writes it like this. He says, for the time being, no discipline brings joy. We'd all agree with that, right? But it seems sad and painful. And anytime I battle anxiety, anytime I battle fear, it is sad and it is painful. But look what he goes on to say. He says, yet for those who have been trained by it, talking about discipline, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That there's a benefit. There's a benefit. And here's the benefit. Right standing with God, a lifestyle and an attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose. Wow. So God will use anxiety to discipline us, to be able to say, okay, Dwight, you continue down that way, it's going to eat your lunch, buddy. It's going to eat your lunch. I want to use this to get your attention. I want to use this to bring you back into right relationship with me. And then finally, God uses anxiety to strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith. How do you develop your faith? You go through a tough time. And you find out that God is faithful. That he's faithful, that he's true. And without going through a tough time, a hard time, a difficult time, you never know that God is faithful. This is why James writes this. He says, consider it nothing but joy. Wow, I haven't always considered it joy. But consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, tribulations, fears, anxiety, worry, stress. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces what? Endurance. Wow, I didn't think I could do that. I didn't think I could handle that. I thought that would destroy me, and instead of destroying me, you know what it did? It developed me. It made me stronger, leading to what? Spiritual maturity and inner peace. And so James would say, let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. God uses anxiety to develop our faith. What is faith? That I believe that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. And when I have that, you know what? Now I'm in a position to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond what I could ever think or even hope or dream of, because I know the one who has the resources. I know the one who is capable. Now, some of us here today, you've come here and you're anxious. You're anxious. You're fearful. You're fearful about the future. You're fearful about your health. You're fearful about your work. You're fearful about your finances. And it's robbing you. You're in knots. I want to tell you today that God loves you and God cares for you. And he wants to help you. He wants to help you more than just cope with it. He wants to lead you through it. Isaiah puts it this way. He says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. Do not be anxious. I will help you. Is he your God? You can make him your God today. You can say, God, as much as I know how to and understand, I invite you to come into my life. I want you to be my God. And he'll do that. Would you pray this prayer with me? Here's the prayer that I believe gets us down that path. God, grant me the sincerity to be able, or serenity, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Would you say that again? Okay, let's all read it, okay? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. When you and I choose that, we're on our path of managing and dealing with the anxiety that attacks us. I want you to listen to this song. I want you to just to bow your heads right now. The band's going to come out. I want you to listen to this song. And I want you to say to God today, if this is in your heart, God, I need you. I want you. I want to trust you. I want to believe in you, that you will lead me and help me so that I can experience your peace that the world cannot give and that the world cannot take away.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.